Welcome to The Weigh-In, hosted by Scotty Cash and Jay Ross.
We are here.
We are here.
The Weigh-In, the original Weigh-In. That's it, just Scotty Cash and myself, Jay Ross.
Have you been doing weigh-ins without me?
I've done a couple.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm sorry, we don't see each other anymore. This is the first time I've seen you since, like,
1992. That's a long time ago.
So we have a little bit to cover. There's been two major, quote-unquote, MMA events since we've last talked. And then there's one coming up next week. So that's pretty much all we're going to talk about. No real news to cover. I mean, there's a few fight announcements, but nothing that's going to shake the earth. One unmajor fight that happened last night was Tim Sylvia versus Mariusz Pudzianowski.
Oh, I love Mario Pudzianowski.
Former world's strongest man with one MMA fight under his belt, going against former world champion Tim Sylvia.
And Tim Sylvia lost.
No, Tim Sylvia did actually win, unfortunately. Okay. it was apparently on the Moosin fight something or other. That just shows you how far that guy's fallen. I mean, Tim Sylvia and what, 2003, 2004 was a big deal,
yeah.
Crushing everybody. I mean, he's beating up Cabbage when Cabbage was beating everybody. He was beating up Wes Sims,
Snowman.
I guess. Snowman, what?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Wes, Jeff Munson.
Yeah.
He beat him up when he was a big deal, I guess. And then just, well, with 2006, 2007, his career just fell off. He beat up Nogueira for a while and then got caught in a submission.
He quit, right? He ended up.
He could have resigned with the UFC, but he's like, no, I want to go fight Fedor and lose in 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to go fight this boxer, Roy Mercer, and get knocked out in 9 seconds. Now he's got two wins in a row against nobody and nobody else. So good for you, Big Timmy. I read an interesting article.
Is he still fighting in the same camps and everything?
Miletic, I don't know. I doubt he's doing any training because he's big, fat POS now. He came in at 310 pounds for the weigh-ins.
Wow. What was he usually, 265?
Yeah, 265 back
then. Oh, my God.
I mean, I get that you're depressed because your life sucks now.
I can't wait. I was 312.
But you were a former champion. I mean, you probably still have a decent amount of money sitting around. What are you doing, Patty?
He ate it all.
Apparently. Cheeseburgers are delicious.
No, he actually, like, ripped up the money and, like, sprinkled it on a salad.
Okay. I'm going to eat this $100 bill. So, yay for Tim Sylvia. Get back on the winning track, albeit not against stiff competition. You know what I'd like to see? Strikeforce find him just to take on Bobby Lashley to get Bobby Lashley a big win under his belt.
Yeah.
Granted, not nearly as important as it would have been now 6 years ago, but still, he beats up Tim Sylvia. That's a big deal.
Well, he fought for Strikeforce, didn't he?
No.
Against Fatal. Who did he fight?
That was Affliction.
Affliction, that's right.
Yeah. Before Affliction went under. All right, UFC 113. I paid money for it. I watched it. I liked it. What did you?
Yes. I did not watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No.
You did?
No. Well, I said yes, thinking I watched it, and then I remembered, no, I didn't. I waited for a phone call, and I don't know if you have it on your phone, but apparently you can put people on your blacklist on your text messaging through that handset, and I don't know how I put my friend on my blacklist, but apparently he was texting me like, hey, are you going to come over? We're starting this. And I woke up the next day, and I was like, yeah, well, you never called me or texted me or anything. He's like, yes, I did. And then I figured out what the heck a blacklist was. I took him off the blacklist and had like 3 or 4 texts from him like, hey, you coming? We're starting this.
Yeah, I've never messed with that, thankfully. But maybe I do. That's why I don't get texts from certain people. I could be wrong with that. Or maybe they think I'm a jerk. Stuff in the air. So I did watch it at least. The first fight of the night started out with Patrick the Predator Cote making his long-awaited re-debut after he's been gone since 2008 with a knee injury, taking on Alan the Talent Belcher.
The last person he fought, Silva?
Yeah.
Wow.
Belcher did defeat Cote in the second round via rear naked choke after almost pile-driving him. It was more like a flapjack. You know wrestling terms. Yeah. You pick him up like a pile-driver and he slam him face forward. We'll call it a Styles Clash. He basically Styles Clashed him. Dazed Cote because he did hit his head a little bit, and he wasn't spiked on his head, so it wasn't illegal, but smacked his face on the mat. He's like, oh, where am I at? And so Belcher quickly tied up a rear naked choke.
You can't pile-drive anybody?
No. Pile-driving, spiking them on their head's illegal, but apparently you can just smash them face forward or on the back or anywhere that's not directly on top of their head.
Rampage used to pile-drive people?
They power-bombed them. I don't think they ever pile-drove folk.
Okay.
that fight was really entertaining, really back and forth. Everyone was like, man, Cote's got strong hands. He's going to knock this guy out. And he was getting rocked, and he threw his big left or right that they were talking about, and Belcher kind of walked through it and got the win. Next up was Kimbo Slide.
Sounds like good.
Yeah. Taking on Matt Mitrione. This is both guys' first foray to pay-per-view. Mitrione did get the W in the second round after kicking Kimbo's leg into the third row and hurting him pretty bad where he couldn't move barely. It started out super exciting, though. The first 3 minutes of that fight were amazing because Mitrione's going for head kicks, and yeah, and Kimbo basically picked him up and powerbombed him.
Wow, okay.
He rolled him over. Mitrione goes for triangle, and he picks him up and powerbombs him again, and then he works out to get out of the triangle for a while, and then they just brawl, and then they're both gassed out, and Mitrione starts kicking him in the legs, and the rest of the round is boring, and the second round is even worse.
On a side note, we're doing a garage sale this weekend, and I found some old yearbooks, and Matt Mitrione's in there.
Really?
Yeah. And the next member's like, is this that UFC guy? And I was like, well, yeah, I guess kind of. But he's got, like, hair and...
That's awesome. Was it Southeast?
Yeah, Southeast.
Nice. Was that your freshman and he was in there?
Nah, I think it was a sophomore. He was a senior. A fifth-year senior.
Fifth-year senior?
Well, our second-year senior, however you say it. He flunked out of SHG. Or didn't flunk out. He didn't have enough credits, so he went to Poopy Southeast to finish it off.
That's fantastic.
I'm pretty sure in his picture, too, he had a SHG shirt on. Like a raggedy old T-shirt. Like,
I want to see it.
Yeah. I'll have to bring it in.
You should. excuse me. Next up was Sam Stout versus Jeremy Little Heathen Stevens. Stout was a huge favorite as he's a more seasoned, more all-around complete fighter. Everyone talked about Stevenson's hands and
his uppercutting abilities.
His uppercutting abilities, and that's pretty much what did it. I mean, it wasn't a knockout. He did win via split decision, which I don't agree with. He won not every round, but he did win the fight decisively. But Jeremy Stevens looked great. Like, I've seen him not look good in fights. And this one, I was like, wow.
Sam Stout looked bad, or did he look great?
No, Sam Stout looked okay. Well, it definitely wasn't the Sam Stout that just beat up Joe Lozon or whoever he fought.
I think it was Crazy Joe.
Yeah.
Was it Crazy Joe or Crazy Joe's brother?
No, it's Crazy Joe's brother. No, it's Crazy Joe. I mean, Crazy Joe's brother is fighting this weekend.
Yeah,
next weekend, whatever.
Oh, okay, Rampages.
Whatever. This comes on. All right. So, yeah, really good fight between those two. Next up was the highly anticipated, hotly contested War of Words fight for the number one contendership with Josh Koscheck versus Paul Daly. Koscheck said he was going to stand and knock him out. He's like, I'm cocky enough. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to knock this guy out. Not even close.
Well, that
first 8 seconds of the fight, he took him down.
Well, that's probably his game plan from the get-go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and Daly, for his credit, he stayed low. He was trying to be like, this guy's not taking me down. He's not taking me down. He was kind of throwing whenever he got a chance to, and he got taken down. He worked his way up initially in the first round, really kind of quickly to the surprise of most people. But then he went for an illegal knee, missed completely, and Josh was like, oh, my face! You need me in the face, can
you? I've yet to see this. I just seen him throw a punch after the fight.
And then he showed the replay where the knee completely misses, and Koscheck's like, I'm good, let's do this. Because Dan Margulato was the referee. He's like, that's a point for Daly. That's a deducted point. And then after they saw the replay, he's like, that point goes back. It was not a deducted point.
he didn't do that?
Yeah, he gave the point
back. There's no crying in baseball.
And we'll tell Josh Koscheck that. It was, oh, he made me in the first, guys. He got back up. What do I do?
He still continued the fight, though. So,
he did.
I mean, he could have been like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, and he would have probably ended with a DQ loss for Daly. So who knows? But, again, he grinded out a decision. Didn't really do anything. He went for a submission here and there. Daly's ground defense was pretty good, but not good enough to get back to his feet on a collegiate wrestler like Koscheck. So
I'm just glad to see Koscheck taking folks down. You know,
well, he's not going to do that to GSP.
Right.
He's going to get worked.
Yeah, well, he took GSP down the first time.
One.
Paul takes.
No.
I'd say he went the distance, but GSP goes the distance with 90-year-old lady. So.
Okay. After the fight, like he did say, Daly got frustrated because basically in the last minute, Josh Koscheck was like, yeah, I'm going to F your mom later. And stuff like that.
I doubt that.
I don't know the specifics. He did say he was talking massive trash and saying really bad things.
And Koscheck said he was talking massive trash.
Yeah, that's
because,
what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was, like, in his ear, like, just really working him up for the last minute while he's holding him down. And so that frustrated Daly to the point where he decided to throw a punch. We are completely out of time on this one. Hopefully you got most of that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weigh-In from Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Are back again.
We are.
Yeah, we're not sure where you got cut off, so we'll just start over. Koscheck beat the crap out of Paul Daly.
No, not at all. Koscheck took him down and lied on him. Mercilessly is what you're trying to look for. Did someone steal that demo? Anyway, he took him down at will for the most part. Daly only landed a few strikes here and there. Koscheck wasn't able to finish him. He wasn't able to get on any submissions. He didn't take any chances.
Well, Paul Daly's not a punk, first of all.
He's definitely not. No, he's definitely a good fighter, but I mean, when you got someone just lying on top of you at the collegiate level, like Josh Koscheck is, there's not a lot you're going to do, unfortunately.
We were talking about him talking crap, and Koscheck said, I don't remember who that guy is with the glasses that interviews people. It's for a certain website.
Oh, you're talking about Ariel Helwani.
Maybe, I don't know, but he's like, he's a
skinny guy?
And he's just kind of like, no.
That's Ariel Helwani.
And he was like, you know, what were you saying in his ear? You know, and Koscheck kind of grinning. He's like, man, he said during the countdown or whatever, you know, he was saying a bunch of stuff that he didn't need to say, so I was making sure he knew that, you know, I'm better than him, and you know, that's what he said. He never said something.
Well, I was watching him on a really quick after interview that he did on MMA Live on ESPN2, which, by the way, if you're ever thinking about ordering a UFC pay-per-view but aren't quite sure, and they're going to do an MMA Live after, don't bother. They show pretty much the entire show on MMA Live, which is really frustrating. I'm like, yeah, just pay $50. Here's all the highlights. On every end of every fight, I hate you. So that's what I'll be doing on next week's show, is watching MMA Live afterwards.
I'm not going to pay for it.
I will try to go see it, though, somewhere, yes. But anyways, on there, he was like, yeah, I was just talking mass trash in his ear. I mean, things got heated, you know, and I was going at it pretty good. And Kenny Florian was one of the co-hosts, and he was like, what are you talking about, his mom or something? He's like, worse than that.
I doubt it. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to hear from one of them to know exactly what he's saying, but I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't anything resembling.
Well, you can't hear from Paul Daly because he's fired.
Yes, he is. That's the thing. He did throw a left hook after the fight. Apparently, Dana White got in and was like, what the hell are you doing? You can't do that. You know how bad that is? He's like, I didn't hear the bell. I thought he was standing us up. Yeah. He said, I didn't hear the bell.
You should have said, you know what? You're right. You're hired. You're fired again for being an idiot.
But after the press conference, he's like, yep, Paul Daly's cut. He's got a lifetime ban. I don't care if he's the best fighter in the world. You don't do that, which is kind of BS because I don't think he gave Nato Babalu Sobral a lifetime ban after he choked a guy for 4 extra seconds. Rosmer Polaris, who just got done holding on a leg submission for an extra 3 or 4 seconds when the guy was...
3 or 4 seconds is a little extreme. It's probably like 1 or 2, but 1 or 2 probably seems like 4 or 5 seconds.
For that guy. But I'm saying, he doesn't fire these guys.
That's also a little bit different than someone standing up
and going to punch him. I don't disagree.
Seconds later, you know.
Another thing is Nate Diaz, we were talking about earlier, was involved in that Strikeforce brawl. He was punching and kicking and repeatedly hitting Mayhem Miller at the post-fight brawl, and you know what? Dana White says, yeah, no. I mean, Miller shouldn't have gotten there and started the fight with Diaz, brother. This is what Dana White said. He's like,
was he hammered?
Apparently. But he's like, he gets no repercussions unless it's from the athletic commission. He's like, you know what? He shouldn't have been in there with the Diaz brothers. These brothers are crazy. I'm like, really? You're going to fire a guy for one punch? But this guy was punching and kicking somebody? Well, after the whole show was over?
Yeah, well, like, you know, you kind of expect... okay stuff from okay athletes like Paul Daly. You don't expect him to do that.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't have done it.
When you have a Diaz brother, you don't know what the hell they're going to do.
That's fine. It's still, if he's going to suspend somebody or do anything like that, he should, you know, have it.
You know what they should have done with the Diaz brothers? Shot them.
Yes, absolutely. Castrated
them. Shot them and killed them.
But no, seriously, I disagree with the fact that he was fired. He should have been suspended. I'll even say suspended for a year. And you know, take away any extra purse money or anything like that, but... a lifetime ban, and you're fired, you're never ever coming back, you know? I mean, that's pretty harsh.
I don't think that's extreme. I think it's unextreme that he's not doing it to everybody else. Because he's always like, you know, on the tough show, he's always like, you know, you can't be this way. You know, you don't want to think, you know, people thinking you're hooligans, and they kick people off the show, you know, times for that. So then it's like the Diaz brothers done.
Yeah.
What they did is far worse than what Paul Daly did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Paul Daly was like in the heat of the moment, and, you know, fine that, you know, Diaz might have been a little mad, but... for they were sure on, they jumped a guy.
Yeah, they're on CBS, national television. You're seeing their face. They're mentioning who they are, and they're punching and kicking a guy as hard as they can with shoes and fists.
Well, and the other Diaz's defense, he was trying to, like, throw him on the ground so he could, like, you know, hit him in the forehead 160 times.
Yeah, the one was, like, trying to get, like, submission on him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was trying to, like, throw him on the ground or, like, break it up, and then he realized everybody was kicking him and punching him. He's like, well, I'll just choke him.
Yeah, and another thing, if they're talking about a punch thrown after, Jake Shields threw, like, three punches at Miller after when he was getting, like, held from other people. No one said a word about Jake Shields, and Dana White's like, we're going to hire that guy. Give him a title shot. What?
Oh, they're hiring Jake Shields?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So this is so ridiculous that he's like, Paul Daly, you're fired forever. But whatever, hopefully Paul Daly's back.
He's racist.
Yeah, he's got to be. Because he also did fire Kimbo Slice, the other black guy on the show that lost.
I think we got a conspiracy going here.
Kimbo, he's like, yeah, he had a good run of two whole fights. But really, who is he going to fight? I mean,
yeah, his name's Dust now.
I don't think it's Dust, per se. I just think that if he's not competitive, he's not going to be a top-tier heavyweight. He won't even be a top-tier light heavyweight. If they create a 215-pound division, he won't be a top-tier 215-pounder. So there's just no way they can do with him, unfortunately. But he's gone. We're going to talk about the main event now because we completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
The big rematch of Lyoto Machida versus Mauricio Shogun Hua for the light heavyweight championship of the world. You guys may remember their last fight at UFC 104 went to a decision. Everyone thought that Shogun really should have won. The judges decided that Machida won, and a rematch finally happened. This one did not, in fact, go five rounds. Didn't even go a full round. Mauricio Shogun, who did KO Machida for his first ever loss and first ever knockout at 3 minutes and 35 seconds of the first round to become light heavyweight champion of the world.
The world.
It was a pretty fun fight. I mean, they're both like, we're going to finish this dang thing quick. So they're both going out there. Machida's throwing his knees and throwing his punches, and Shogun apparently realized, you know what, this guy doesn't hurt me that much. I'm just going to walk through everything. And so he did, and he knew that Machida usually goes that knee and then comes up with a quick, like, right cross, and so he's like, all right, there's the knee. Come on. Overhand right. Stumbles him and just gets on him and punches him in the face, like, six times. And the ref's standing there watching him be punched out, and Shogun stands up to walk away. And he's like, oh, yeah, the fight's over.
The fight's over.
So good job, ref, for being a few punches late.
Was it the Mustache Bandit?
I don't remember exactly. He wasn't a good ref, that's for sure. But
so it wasn't
It wasn't excessive. Shogun was like, well, he's out. I'm done.
What's his name?
Mazzagatti.
Yeah, Mazzagatti. Brock's best friend.
It could have been, to be honest with you.
I'm about to take that mustache and shove it up his ass.
So Shogun did win the title. His first challenge will come in the form of either Rampage Jackson or Rashad Evans. We'll find out in about a week. Next up, we'll go over the bonuses. $65,000 was dished out to Fight of the Night of Sam Stout versus Jeremy Stevens for their three-round four. KO of the night went to Shogun Hua for his knocking out of Lyoto Machida, and submission of the night went to Alan the Talent Belcher for his flapjack rear naked choke combo. So that was fun. Now we'll talk about Strike Force Heavy Artillery. Did you watch any of that?
No.
No? Okay, we're going to go over quickly because the show wasn't good enough to talk about ad nauseum. Alistair Overeem made his first defense of the heavyweight title for Strike Force in 3 years going against Brett Rogers. That fight wasn't even a fight. It was basically Alistair Overeem showing how big and strong he is by taking Rogers and throwing him to the canvas and then punching him out real quick. It will last 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Still your Strike Force champion, Alistair Overeem. Next up was Andrei Arlovski returning after about a year or so of being knocked out twice to take on Antonio Bigfoot
Silva. I love you.
I bet. To take on Bigfoot Silva. Silva did win that fight via decision. Jacare defeated Joey via Sonor. Roger Gracie's tall and awkward. He beat Kevin Randleman because Kevin Randleman's good, apparently. Sarcasm.
That was definitely sarcasm.
And in the opening bout, Antoine Brent got beat up by Rafael Cavalcanti via KO, which is actually a pretty nice KO.
We're going to be back.
We've got to talk about UFC 114, baby.
You're listening to The Weigh-In from LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Back again. Time to talk about UFC 114, Rampage versus Evans. It's happening next Saturday. I'm excited. They're doing the primetime specials every Wednesday after The Ultimate Fighter, which next week will be the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter I watched pretty much the entire season, because it's the one where Tito Ortiz goes away finally. So we'll find out why he's going away and what's going on, and Chuck Liddell will complain about him being a pansy, and it'll be a good time to have by all. So again, UFC 114, Rampage Evans. They're going to do Spike TV is going to air prelims for funsies. We're going to get Efraim. Apparently, he doesn't like my words of funsies. We're going to get a lightweight bout. That's Efraim Escudero taking on Dan Lozon. There's been a lot of internet chatter going on about Dan and Joe Lozon breaking up, more or less. That's being brothers and training partners because Joe's mad because Dan's only training four times a week instead of six or eight or whatever. So look for Efraim to take the win here because all the hubbub going on about Dan. Also on the prelim card on Spike is a welterweight bout with Amir Sadala, season 7 winner of The Ultimate Fighter, taking on Dong Young Stun Gun Kim is undefeated currently. So this would be probably Amir's biggest test since I guess his loss to Johnny Hendricks.
And his biggest loss.
You think Amir's losing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Amir's really good. His Muay Thai is fantastic. He looked great against Brad Blackburn.
What? Muay Thai, who is this guy you speak of?
I hate you. Dong Young Kim, although I've never seen it, apparently has vicious elbows, so that'll be a good fight, I think.
He looks just like...
I'm going to pick Efraim, Escudero, and Amir, because I like tough winners other than James Wilkes.
James Wilkes is kind of terrible.
Yeah, he's on that card as well, but I'm not going to mention because he sucks so bad. Who's another? Mac Danzig sucks. I don't also like Kendall Grove, who's another winner who's not any good. Who are your picks for the Spike TV portion?
I'm going to take Efraim and Kang Kang Jungjang.
That'd be Dong Young Kim.
Jungjing Hangan.
All right, the main card is going to start off with a welterweight return of Diego Nightmare Sanchez taking on John Hathaway in a fight I'm going to call Diego Sanchez Needs a Win. I'm going to pick Diego, by the by.
That sounds fine.
Got really into the show today. a light heavyweight bout, which originally had co-main eventer of Antonio Ruggiero, Lil Nog Nogueira, taking on Forrest Griffin. Forrest Griffin did have to pull out of the card, so Jason Brill's...
Why?
Shoulder injury.
Yeah,
so Jason Brill's takes this place. This will probably be a fairly good win for Nogueira. My prediction for Nogueira is that he wins this fight, and then he takes a fight of the loser of the Rashad Evans-Rampage Jackson fight in, let's call it, September. December, he takes on Johnny Bones Jones for a chance at the light heavyweight title. That's going to be a good fight, and then whoever that's going to take on the light heavyweight champion, and it's called March of next year. That's my fantasy booking for Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira from now until March of next year. You want to fantasy book somebody real quick?
No.
I do.
I just want Hoist Gracie. He's gonna get hit by a truck.
Like
next week, and then he's gonna get to the hospital in like a week after that, and he's gonna get all fixed up.
And then, takes a week to get to the hospital.
Yeah. And then the airplane's gonna wreck into him.
I think this is walking along an airplane.
That's correct. Book that. That's confirmed.
All right. Heavyweight bout is up next between hot prospect Todd Duffy, coming off his 6-second knockout of some terrible guy.
prospect.
He is. I mean, everybody's like, man, it's Todd Duffy. He's won five of his
Todd time, Duffy's going to get beat up by somebody.
Eventually, but right now I think he's going to beat up Mike Russo pretty quick.
Yeah, because Mike Russo, so he's awesome.
So I'm picking Todd Duffy there.
Yeah, I'll take Todd Duffy.
Next up in the newly crowned co-main event is Michael the Count Bisping taking on Dan Miller. Dan Miller's coming off two consecutive losses to two number one contenders for the middleweight title.
I'm still taking Bisping.
Chael Sonnen and who's the guy you just lost?
John Cunningham?
No, exactly. No. Why can't I think of his name? Who's the guy who just lost Anderson?
Oh, Stephen Struve. Nelson.
That's what I'm looking for. No help. Really.
That was the question.
Who's the guy who just lost to Anderson Silva? It was Anderson Silva. Damian Maia. Those are Dan Miller's most recent.
I erased that thought from my memory.
Me too. I'll pick Michael Bisping as well and probably see Dan Miller's walking papers after that. Next up is the main event of the evening, light heavyweight bout between Quentin Rampage Jackson taking on Rashad Evans. Have you been watching the countdown? Or not the countdown, but the primetime show?
Yeah, I've only watched one. Has there been more than one?
There's been two now. We'll probably find it online and watch it later because I didn't get to watch all of
them. I've only seen the one where...
A DVR. Yeah.
Where they were like got their suits and Rampage was punching that thing and going, "Die! You'll die!"
So then you've only seen this second one. It was in the first one.
Oh, okay, sure.
Well, did you see that one where Rampage was back in high school and he's powerbombing people and collegiate wrestling?
No.
Okay, I'll watch the first one.
I want to see it.
This is for a number one contender's bout for the light heavyweight title of the world.
I got a question. All right. You can't pile drive somebody.
No.
What if they're on your back and you jump forward onto their head?
I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do that also. I know that happened recently, and there was no like foul or anything like that. So that one's a little more hazy. Again, you're not supposed to spike the guy on their head. That could be like, I wasn't trying to spike him, I was just rolling.
Yeah.
So that one's up in the air. I'm going to take Jackson in this fight.
I'm taking Evans.
Really?
Yeah. I'm for sure going for Jackson just because Evans has, you know, wrestling too. If Evans punches...
You know, Jackson was a wrestler too, right?
Not like Evans.
I think just like Evans, actually. I don't think Evans was like a national collegiate wrestler.
You're a racist.
Yes. I hate the black.
Hysterical was when they were talking about what they never ever called him.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was. On
can't really repeat, we can't really repeat it.
Like,
but
in the 3 years at Nunya. I think I'm doing a wrong accent there.
That's fine.
3 years at Nunya. What if I never called you? Why am I all I'm like a lucky charm?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do a British accent.
It's fine.
He's like, you never called me an N-word.
But he didn't say N-word. He actually said the word.
He's like, no, I've never called you Rampage. Why can't I do it?
I don't know. And then he's like, so you have called me the N-word? He goes, yeah, a couple times.
That was funny. I forgot about that. You do an English accent.
I don't know how to do it.
Good day, mate. That's Australian.
Oh, Chung Chung Ming Kong Kim.
That's Japanese.
I got no idea.
Why can't I do it? I got to think of Michael Bisping here. No, I can't. Too much of a douche. All right. Well, we're out of time. I'm picking Jackson. He's picking Evans. We'll be back next week to talk about other stuff because more than likely the fight won't have happened yet. But lots of upcoming stuff.
Did you already announce that GSP and Koscheck are going to be the coaches for next year? Oh, okay.
I announced that a couple shows ago. Actually, it might have been the last show since the one we've done one.
That's what I get for not listening.
I know, right? You might listen to your own show that you haven't been on for a while.
I don't listen to any shows.
Not even your sports talk radio. That hasn't happened for 2 weeks either.
Nope.
We're doing good on our podcast, guys. Hope you listen. Hope you like it. Listen to the other podcasts.
Somebody needs to listen to it.
Send us some stuff, news, whatever. We're out of here.